Everybody, welcome back to another week at Faith Over Fear. I'm super excited as we have another guest host with us this week. I know I don't get to do that very often. I wish I could do it more. And so with me, I've got Chris with Mind Shift Ministries, correct? Am I saying that correctly? Yes. I would say his last name, but I undoubtedly cannot say it correctly. So I will let him introduce himself. And just to kind of let you guys know, we just kind of want to share his story with you. Chris, I'll let you get into where you're from, how you've gotten to where you're at. And guys, before we really get too far into it, I just want to encourage you. So he's actually sitting in New Zealand right now. He's in the future. So it's actually Wednesday morning for him. It's Tuesday evening for me. But he heard the podcast. He wanted to reach out and really just encourage the audience. And so, Chris, with that being said, I'll just kind of let you take it from there.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tyler. And hello, everyone. My name is Chris Corradino. That's an Italian last name. But I grew up American, and about 4 years ago, my wife and I moved to New Zealand. She's a Kiwi, and man, it's been a wild journey. I'm actually coming to you right now from a caravan that we are traveling all of New Zealand in to speak about Jesus. I like to think of it as the Great Commission in a caravan. Why not? But basically, listen, there's so many people who need encouragement, whether they are Christians or non-believers. So we are planting seeds, and we're talking to people from every denomination. It doesn't really matter. We're talking to atheists. We're talking to people who are on the fence. And the way I feel about it is we're planting seeds sometimes to people who would otherwise not step into church. So I feel like now people need encouragement more than ever before, especially after, you know, years of lockdowns and COVID and this and that. We need Jesus more than ever before. So we're just trying to spread the good news.
Absolutely. And I love what you're doing. And that's what, you know, you and I were talking about this last week when we first connected, on how I kind of want to reach, you know, an audience of believers to encourage them, you know, to live a life of boldness and live out a life of faith, you know, unwavering of what the world, you know, what the world throws at you and what you are going to go through, you know, each and every day as you're going to reach a much different audience at times than what we're doing. Just kind of share with that. I know you told me one story about how, you know, I think you were at a campground maybe, and you said that, you know, you just see a whole different audience sometimes. So how has that been, you know, let's back up. So you have a background in ministries. So maybe let's start there. So you were a pastor of a church.
Well, I am a preacher, so I would consider myself an itinerant preacher now, meaning we're on the road. Yep. But I have preached many times in various churches. So I have a home church in a little city called Hastings, New Zealand. And I love our church family. I love the pastor of the church. It's an amazing place with just incredible people, and they've treated us like family. My two kids, my wife, they have been just so uplifting through some really hard times. So, like, I firmly believe in the importance of a church family. Absolutely. And having a home church is absolutely key. There was a time in my life where I thought, I'm a big long distance runner, or I have been in the past. And I thought for a while, you know, running is my church. Being outside in nature is my church. It's just not the case. It's just not true. You need community to lift you up when you go through stuff, whether it be accountability or just friends. And, you know, it's selfish to think, well, I could do a long hike in nature and that's my church. Who are you supporting in doing that?
Right.
You know,
it's helping? Funny you bring that up, too, because that's actually what we were talking about on the podcast this week for this week's episode, is encouraging people to do things together. Right. Like, we weren't called to do this life alone, to your point. We were called to, you know, to be with each other. And that's, you know, I've got scripture in this week's episode where, you know, Paul reiterates to the church that you should confess things to the church and you should uplift each other in the church and you should do this together. And so, you know, you make such a good point. And that's actually one thing I didn't even think about when we were talking last week is, you know, being in a life of ministries and, you know, mine knows that we've started church, you've been a pastor, now you're on the road. It can get very isolated sometimes being in ministries. You can feel like you're doing things alone. You can feel like you know, what you're doing isn't, you know, affecting anyone. You don't necessarily always see the fruits. And so now I'm sure for you, and maybe I'll let you kind of talk to this a little bit more, is now that you're on the road and you're on the move, I have to believe it's probably even worse. So needing that church family is probably, I would guess, even more important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, I think for a pastor, probably the hardest day of the week is Monday. You know, it's after everyone goes home, you've done your message, it's quiet. And that's where, you know, in those places of like isolation, that's where the enemy kind of lurks, you know, that's where you're most vulnerable. Like if you see a lone wolf, that's not a strong wolf. That's a wolf that's in trouble. And we need each other. A pack of wolves is super strong and can do the unthinkable, right? They can take out something that's way bigger than them. So we need each other desperately. And for me, being out here on the road, listen, I have my family, but we also have Jesus. And I know that we're doing the right thing because I feel the enemy nipping at our heels, but Jesus goes before us. Right. So, you know, thankfully there's technology. We can do things like this. We can have WhatsApp calls and all of that. So that's cool. But the fact of the matter is we're talking to people on a daily basis, whether it be another dad in a playground, you know, as we watch our kids play, or people in churches. And like for, as an example, on Easter Sunday, we walked into a church. I was giving the message there, which was a huge honor because it's Easter, you know, and they were almost apologetic. Like, we're so sorry. There's not a lot of people here. You know, we're in transition. And I said, listen, Jesus wasn't about, you know, the huge numbers. He was always after the one. So I don't care if there are five people here or 150. I'm so honored to be giving this message on this, you know, amazing, joyous day. And what I found was, and my wife will tell you this too, they just needed someone to listen. You know, I gave the message, but afterwards, they just wanted to tell us their story. So, you know, part of being out here is not just preaching and talking, but just shutting up and listening to what they have to say.
Right, right. And it's, you know, you use the word relationship. I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, people will respond and relate with people, you know, and that's one thing I've actually, and again, you've probably experienced this too, being in ministries. A lot of times people will almost not want to be in relationship with you because they think that, you know, oh, well, you're a pastor. And so, you know, you're better than I am. I can't let you know the things that I'm going through because, you know, this, I've heard a ton, you know, people be like, well, the worship leader's here, so we got to be careful. And I'm like, dude, I'm no different than anybody else. Like I have my struggles. I have my, you know, I've got my low points. I'm not perfect. I just am trying to live out a life, you know, called by Jesus. And so, you know, to your point, you know, a lot of people, they just want to be heard. They just want you to see them and know that, you know, my brother, as he preaches a lot, you know, he always says that what he was called to do is just tell people Jesus loves them. It's not about I'm better than you. It's not about, you know, this great big church and all these numbers and all these people. We just want you to know that Jesus loves you. And so I agree with you 100%. I think that, you know, relationship is just so key in what we do as believers. And so what you're doing, being able to go outside of the four walls and like actually going to, like, you're showing people like the same thing that Jesus did. Like, and I love that because that's what we should all be doing, whether it's our job or whether it's our ministry or whatever it may be. I mean, we're all called to go be in relationship with one another, just as Jesus did. And so that's what, I mean, what you guys are doing, I love it.
Thank you. I mean, listen, it's going to look different for everyone. You know, there are plenty of people out there who their ministry is their family. And that is one of the hardest ministries in the world. Believe me, you know, being a dad, being a mom, caregiver, that is super hard. So what we're doing is no greater than what you're doing in your lives, you know. So the fact of the matter is, like, man, I have been down some hard roads and I have been the greatest of sinners. And that's why I feel like it's urgent for me to share what Jesus can do, because I've been in the darkest of places where I didn't think I was going to come out, you know. And through the grace of God, I'm here today telling the story. There were times when I just honestly was so low, I thought it was over for me. And I thought Jesus could never use a guy like me, a sinner like me. But Jesus can take the most broken of people and use them for his glory.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's a difference between being righteous and being self-righteous.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. So like, listen, I'm trying to live the right way. I'm trying not to just overtly sin, right? Not that I get it right all the time, but I'm trying to lead a righteous life. Self-righteous is much different. Self-righteous is I'm better than you because I'm not sinning and you are. I mean, that's crazy talk. That is that, you know, if you're in a life right now where there's some sort of nagging sin, like that's an opportunity for you to turn that over to Jesus and for him to use that in a way that could be like your comeback, you know? So like a lot of people think when I talk to sometimes that I say, you know, is there something that, is there a reason you don't go to church? If they flat out say like, I don't go to church, you know? And sometimes they'll say, oh, I couldn't go in there. I'll burn up. That's the old joke, right?
Yep,
but
yep.
People really feel that way, or they feel like they'll be judged harshly. But once we get to talking and they recognize that I'm just like them, I have the same problems. I struggle with the same stuff that they do. And it's through Jesus that I'm able to get by and thrive instead of just, you know, eking by in life, but thrive. That's when the conversation kind of shifts and I share what Jesus has done in my life. You know, I'll just tell you a quick story, Tyler. It's not something I talk about all the time, but there was a time in my life where I was on 6 different antidepressant drugs. 6. And, you know, the psychiatrists were saying, listen, you need to always be on this. You know, you're just not, you'll never be normal without these. And I thought about it and I prayed about it. And I said, you know, I think it's just a situational thing. I was going through a divorce at the time. It was a horrible time in my life. I was losing my house and my dogs and this and that. And, you know, and I was depressed. But I didn't feel like there was something chemically wrong with me, like long term. But they wanted to kind of keep me sick. And I'm not trying to sound like all like teleconspiracies theory or whatever, but it sort of seemed like that's what was happening. They wanted me to stay in this system, and it was costing me tons of money. And what I realized through prayer and going to church and building community and having brothers and sisters in Christ was it didn't have to be that way. That's not where the story ended. Jesus used that to help bring me closer to him, heal me, and then tell that story to other people who were struggling with similar things. So, you know, when I was in that spot, that's where I met a woman who was reading at a table. She was reading a book. And I said, hey, what is it that you're reading? And she said, it's this book, Jesus Calling. Do you want to read today's passage? I thought about it for a second, you know, and I said, you know, what do I really have to lose here? Let me just open this door a little bit. And Tyler, just opening that door a little bit, just that willingness to say, sure, let's read it. I felt Jesus come in. I call him Kung Fu Jesus in that moment because he came in just kicking down doors. And I was filled with his presence, filled with his light. And everything changed at that point.
That's
so
awesome.
It's just about that willingness to seek and to accept. I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, seek and you'll find, knock and I'll answer. And I feel like Jesus has an open door policy, you know, in corporate life, you know, there's middlemen. But with Jesus, there's no middlemen. You go straight to him. Yep. How amazing is that? We can go straight to our creator. So, man,
and it just takes, and it takes like some vulnerability, right? Like, and I think that's where a lot of people, especially for men and like, you know, you and I can speak to this, obviously being men. It takes a vulnerability to be able to open up like that. And it's hard because, you know, opening up to Jesus, it still takes that for you as a man to say, you know what, can't handle it all on my own. I can't walk through this on my own. I need someone to help me with this. And like you said, we have a direct path to the Father in Jesus. You know, everything that he did, you know, was so that we could have that way to the Father. And so opening up a little bit, and I appreciate you sharing your story on the, you know, with the depression, and because I think that, you know, humanizing ourselves as Christians is one way that we can help each other out. You know, I've talked about the struggles I've had in my own life. You know, I'm 30, I'm married, I've got three kids, you know, but I've always struggled with lust. I've struggled in the past with, you know, pornography. I've struggled with things like that in the past. And, you know, and I held those in for a long time, and not meaning, not like I wasn't healed from it completely until I opened up with my wife. And I had someone interceding for me in prayer and really, you know, helping me beat it, you know, and the Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful. And so, you know, opening up, but it wasn't until I got vulnerable enough to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need help. I need you. I need someone here to help me. And opening up, you know, it's made the walk so much easier. And then on the other side of it is opening up to my audience and opening up to my friends and opening up to people. And, you know, in the ministries, I've got friends who, you know, they're like, well, I've told them that. And they're like the shock level is just unreal. And I'm like, well, I don't understand why you're shocked. And they're like, well, you're a worship leader and you have a podcast. And I'm like, yeah, I do these things because I'm a sinner and I found Jesus. Like, because, you know, I'm not perfect. But when you open up to that and allow people to see, like, man, you're in the ministries and you trouble just like I do. Well, yeah, I mean, the Bible says for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us, it's not like you become a Christian and then automatically you're perfect. The sin's gone. The desire to sin is gone. You don't want to. I mean, what did Paul say in the New Testament? He says, I always want to do what's right, but I find myself doing what's wrong all the time. You know, it's not like these things just magically disappear. It's, you know, Jesus providing a way out. And I think, you know, like you said, when you open up and you can give your story and people can hear it, I think that it just, you know, it just opens the door for them so much more because they can understand that, like, dang, I'm not alone. Like, even people in the church, people, Christians, pastors, like, man, they struggle with the same thing I do. And it's like, well, yeah, of course I do. That's what I'm here for. Like, you know, learned experiences, right? Like, I've struggled and I don't want, you know, and I tell people all the time, like, think about my boys, you know, they're 8 and 6 right now. I don't want them to struggle with that when they get, you know, to be young men, you know, and now knowing what it looks like and knowing what, like, how easy it is to get it. Like, I don't want my kids to do that. I don't want my friends to do that. I don't want, you know, and so it takes that vulnerability to say, you know what, man, I know that I'm not alone in this struggle. I know that there are other people out there struggling with this. So I'm going to share it. And if what I went through can help anybody, then so be it, you know? And so I appreciate you sharing that, man. That's, you know, like I said, I think it's huge.
Yeah. I mean, and the way that I think of it is it's not really my story. It's his story. And I'm honored to have a small part to play in it. And if I can use what the enemy meant for bad, for good, I mean, that's the glory to Jesus, right? And that's going to show people the way to the truth and the life. So, you know, there's for you and your struggles with sin, there are so many men who struggle with that sort of thing. And if we're not legit with each other, if we don't speak up and share that, they don't feel comfortable sharing their struggles. You know,
right.
If you ask me, hey, Chris, how are you doing? And I say, I'm awesome. Everything is great. How comfortable are you going to feel to say, actually, I'm having a hard time? You're probably
not very much.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I'm painting this picture that everything is great, I mean, let's face it, you know, looks can be deceiving, you know, right. and to be deceived is the work of the enemy. I'm not interested in that. Right. And the enemy works by dividing and conquering. So if you're feeling shame about some sin in your life and you stay isolated and you keep that inside, that shame is just festering. And like, I mean, if you think about Genesis 3, right, the fall with Adam and Eve, as soon as they ate from the apple, shame, right? It just got introduced in their life and they're covering themselves up and there's this shame and they're pointing fingers and they're blaming everybody. And that's what sin can do.
Right.
So rather than hide away, you know, we just need to be real with each other. Guys, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me? And they'll be like, yeah, you know what? I'm struggling with something too. And let's lift each other up in prayer and let's put it at the foot of the cross and let Jesus heal it. You can't heal it if we're not willing to bring it to him.
Yep. Yep. That's so true.
Yeah. That's so we need to be real with ourselves and each other. And, you know, just on sin, I was thinking a lot about, there's this verse in Thessalonians. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Forgive me. I forget the exact passage, but But you know what? There it is. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And the verse says, abstain from every form of evil. And I was like, what is that word? Why do they use that word abstain? Kind of a strange word. So I went into like the Bible Hub and I kind of dug down into the root of the Greek and all this. And I got to the word apexo. And apexo means, get this, it means to keep myself away from, it means to have one thing by separating from or letting go of another. Hmm. So let me just rephrase that. It's what is gained by discarding something else. Right? So it's when we put down that sin, we're able to pick up a deeper relationship with Jesus. You know, you can't come to the Father with open hands if you're carrying something else.
Right. Right. You
know? So it's not about ruining your party or, you know, meaning, you know, Christians can still have a good time. It's not about, you know, being a stiff or whatever. It's about making room in your life for what's good, because Jesus has a vision and a plan, and he's got a path in mind for you, something amazing for you, if you're willing to walk with him. But if there's something that you're carrying that's getting in the way, he can't fulfill that.
Right. Right.
So it's something greater.
And just to add to that, it's kind of like what you and I talked about last week about how, you know, when you say to abstain from anything evil, and we were talking about sin, which, I mean, let's be honest, it's one and the same. You know, what is that? It's anything, to your point, it's anything that's keeping you separated from God. You know, and this is like one of the things that we talked about last week. And I'm glad you brought that word up, because it's separating you from God. So to be able to pick that one up, to your point, you got to let go of the other. And like one thing, you know, we were talking about was, you know, for me and my example on, you know, football and sitting in church and, you know, want the pastor, you know, to speed up because my Dallas Cowboys were about to kick off. And I was like, pastor, I got to get home. I got to eat lunch. And then the game's going, like, let's go, you know? And then in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit just saying, like, who are you? Like, who are you to tell me to hurry up? You know? And, you know, I felt convicted in that moment. And the thing is I was allowing that to separate me from God. And so, you know, no, football's not bad. The NFL's not necessarily bad. You know, it's like, you can enjoy these things. Right. But it's, you know, are you abstaining from the evil? Are you abstaining from the sin? Are you abstaining from the things that are separating you from God? And, you know, and so for me in my life at that point, football was separating me from God. I was gripping harder to that than I was gripping to my faith. You know, I should have wanted to get through that worship set. I should have wanted to, you know, because at that point it was like, you know, we were about to have an altar call. We were about to have a couple songs of worship. And, you know, as a worship leader, I love worship. That's my favorite part of the service. It's always been. And here I am, the parts that I always get the most out of, I'm trying to speed through because I want to go look at, you know, because I'm focused on something else. And so to your point, you know, you can't hold on to that and then also gain this. Like you've got to be able to let go of the things that are separating you from God, you know, and you'll never have the true fulfillment that Jesus has for us if you're holding on to these things.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, one of the ways to think of it is this is not a battle of flesh. It's one of spirits. And, I mean, listen, football or whatever it may be, there's nothing inherently sinful about it. But when it becomes your God, then that's a problem, right? And, you know, that's why is that the first commandment? You know, no other gods before me. It's not thou shalt not murder. It's no other gods before me. And the reason is, it's not to ruin your party, right? It's because if Jesus is not Lord, something else is. And that something else is it's leading you to destruction. You know, so, I mean, that's not what Jesus wants for you. And the crazy thing is, he loves you enough to give you free will. He'll let you run amok and just destroy your life in sin if you want to, right? He's not going to force you to love him. So that's that free will. And that's amazing, because true love isn't controlling, right? He's not telling everyone, is what you have to be. He gives us a choice. What I'm saying is you have this choice, faith over fear, right? Righteousness over sin. What are you going to choose? And what I'm trying to do, and I believe me, I've failed many, many times, but I'm trying to choose faith over fear. And on fear, I just wanted to comment on that word fear. It's another one of those words that challenges people. Like my wife is a new believer, recently converted to Christianity. And, you know, sometimes when people hear a word like, oh, you should fear God, it doesn't sit well with them. Like, well, isn't this a loving God? What do you mean fear God? That sounds terrible. But one of the ways of thinking about fear, and if you look up the definition, one of the ways of describing it is reverence. So to have reverence for God is one of the first places that you find wisdom, right? And that's just a different way of thinking about it. So, you know, I would just encourage people who are struggling, who are on the fence, who they hear something, they say, well, that doesn't really sit right with me. Dig a little bit deeper. You know, don't throw it all out because something, one thing doesn't sit right or somebody said something. Usually when there's something in the Bible that I don't understand and I dig a little deeper and I look at like a Bible commentary or I listen to a sermon specifically about that, the truth washes up. And it's always that God is good. Yep. It's never that he's trying to hold us down. He's trying to lift us up.
Yep. And I'll give you an example. Like one way I use this all the time when people try to, you know, explain that God is bad or that he's hard, you know, he's not all good or whatever. I always use when they were moving the Ark of the Covenant and God said, you know, don't touch it or you'll surely die. And then it goes and falls and someone tries to grab it to save it from hitting the ground and they die. And people are like, see, he's an evil God. He's an angry God. Why did he, you know, that guy was just trying to save it. And I'm like, that's not what God was saying. God was saying that thing is so holy that if you touch it, you're going to die. Like, it's like when our kids go touch a hot, like, don't touch the hot stove. You're going to get burned. You know, and to your point, when you actually read and try to, like, you truly understand who God is, to your point, the truth will come out. You know, I would argue that you could probably twist a lot of scripture to show that God is evil or God is bad. Or, like, you know, people do it all the time. But to your point, it's because they don't understand. There's, you know, and until you dig into it and you pray and you meditate on the word, you're not going to understand it. And so, yeah, I agree with you 100%. 100% agree with you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it is necessary for us as believers to sharpen our spirits through reading the word or listening to the word. I love listening to... I like to read the Bible. Some people prefer listening. Whatever works for you is great. But I would just also encourage you to listen to or read different translations.
Yep.
You know, whether it be the NLT, ESV, whatever it is, the one that makes sense to you. If it's the Word of God, it's going to start transforming you on the inside. And that's true whether you're new to all of this or you've been doing it for a long time. And I would even say for some people who are doing this for a long time, it's really necessary, or else I think Hebrews talks about it, or you risk drifting.
Yep.
You get comfortable. And sometimes, you know, when you're in a storm, when you're in a deep valley and you're really like at a tough spot in your life, it's kind of easy at that point to reach out to God because you're really hurting. But when you're standing on a mountain peak, that's perhaps the most dangerous time. Because you're feeling confident, you know, you're puffing up your chest and you're like, oh, I got this, I'm doing well, I don't need anything. That's a dangerous place to be. So we need to continually humble ourselves before him. And you know, some people say, why do I need to humble myself before God? Like, isn't he all powerful? You know, why does he need me to bow down before him? What kind of God would need me to do that? And the answer to that is, if we're humbling ourselves before God, he is able to exalt us at the right time. He can use us. But when we become our own God, we're headed for destruction, right?
Absolutely.
Like every single person in this life, even our wives and our families, they're going to fail us. They're going to disappoint us at some point.
Right.
God will never fail. Jesus will never fail. And some people even say, well, I mean, Jesus, you know, he did fail. He allowed himself to be crucified. I mean, he did that for us. And that was actually victory.
Right.
That was victory. So Jesus never fails, but the stuff of this world will always fail. And, you know, even when, even our bodies, right? Like, I've seen people after they've passed away, they're not there.
Right.
Their shell is there, but their spirit isn't, you know? Yep. So this, again, is not about the flesh. And one of the ways that you can, if you're struggling with, like, discerning, is this really sinful? Should I be doing this? I wrote something down that kind of helps me to discern what sin is, if you're unsure. So here it is. It's anything that dulls your thinking, blurs your moral compass, distances you from God, or lets your body control your mind. Even if it seems harmless, that's sin. You know, and the book of James talks about, if you know what the right thing to do is and you don't do it, that's sin.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not trying to beat anyone up saying like you're a bad person. I'm just trying to help you to discern so that you can live in a way that feels good, that you know internally I'm right with God. There's no joy greater than being right with God. I mean, there have been times I've literally just cried because I'm like, I can't. This is so beautiful the way God is taking this, you know, once difficult situation and using it in these profoundly beautiful ways.
Mm.
But if we get in the way, he can't do that.
Yeah, I agree. That's all good stuff, man. And our time is already actually coming up. So, we've got about 2 minutes. And so real quick with the last 2 minutes, just real quick, kind of go over Mindshift Ministries. Where can people follow? What can people do? Like I said, we've got 2 minutes real quick. You know, where can people follow?
Sure. All right. Here it is. Mindshiftministries.com. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and all of that. We believe in the book of Colossians says. I think it's Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not things that are here on earth. So if you want to connect with us, we'd love it. We do WhatsApp Bible studies. We are always interested in connecting with more people. So by all means, mindshiftministries.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Awesome. And Chris, thank you so much. Everybody, I will put all of his links in the show description so you guys can follow him. Chris, man, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining the show and listen, we got to do this again. I look forward to doing this again. I hope you want to.
Yeah, it was awesome, Tyler. Thank you so much. Good luck with the show. I think it's an awesome concept and faith over fear, man. Just, I'd encourage all of you, choose faith. You'll never go wrong.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys. Bless you.
Hey guys, if you liked this week's podcast, you could do us a huge favor by writing a review. This really helps push it out to more people and helps grow the audience and helps grow the podcast. And it, again, will help further the kingdom. Thank you guys so much.